Check. Good afternoon. You guys still awake? I can hear you. Yes, amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn me now to Titus chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 11 to 14. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. It's my great joy to be with you sa hapon pong ito. This conference is like a dream come true. One of the things that we have been seeing, kung anong ginagawa ng Panginoon, just like what, like if you've been to or like watch Together for the Gospel or Gospel Coalition, those conferences desire to equip pastors, and not just pastors like the seasoned pastors, but even younger pastors. So we are so grateful that you are here. Grateful also that you are here with a humble heart and ready to respond to God's word. And whatever He says, you throw your yes to Him. Okay? So, what is assigned to me right now, so this morning we talked about the pastor as a son. Then, a while ago, you heard the pastor as a sinner. Now, this is somehow parang mahirap siya, no? Parang the pastor as a saint. Look at the person sitting beside you. Mukha bang saint yan? Raise your hand if you're a saint. So yung iba confused pa? I hope you're not. I hope God will give illumination as we study His word. And from here, you'll see the great benefit of being a saint in Christ Jesus. So join me in reading Titus chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 11 until 15. I'm going to read from ESV. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for a blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Join me in prayer. Father, we are in need of you. I need you. Because for the last few hours, Lord, that we have been here, you are marinating our hearts in the glories of your gospel. So God, I pray that you will speak to us as you've been doing, Lord, since the start. We ask that your word will clarify, that your word will encourage, that your word will be a steel on our backbones to truly, Lord, walk as you have called us. We thank you. We love you. And we ask, Lord, that you will be glorified in our midst today. Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. The pastor as a saint, and how the gospel empowers us in our pursuit of holiness. To give you a little background, the context for Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, Paul is actually urging Titus to lead his people deeper into the gospel. A small church in Crete, and this is where we see that see Paul was so intentional. Even he was away from Titus, his desire and his passion is to bring forth the truthness of the gospel sa buhay ni Titus. And even as a young pastor, younger pastors, tignan mo ang katabi mo, young, yan. Seasoned, that's good. We are all in this together, okay? This is also for you, okay? If you've been in the ministry for 20 years, if you've been in the ministry for a year, okay, Paul's call is also for us. The church in Crete during that time had two problems. First, licentiousness and legalism. Now, what's licentiousness? It means that Well, because, for example, this God is so loving and forgiving, then I can just, you know, mess up my life. At papatawarin din naman ako ng Panginoon. Like what we heard kanina when Pastor David preached, it's actually an abuse of God's grace. So that's what the false teachers are trying to communicate there, and even the word legalism. Everybody say legalism. It means anything that you add on to the finished work of Jesus Christ to where you can be accepted, be loved, and be considered as his treasure, that's legalism. And that's what Paul is trying to combat here. Paul shows that the answer to both licentiousness and legalism is the gospel. Okay? It is the gospel. That's why for this whole day, we've been marinating our hearts in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Such a wonderful task, isn't it? Okay? Natuwa ba kayo? Yeah? That the day you have a time to marinate yourselves in the very grace and truth of who Jesus Christ is. But also keep in mind that in the context of Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, it is also the way for us to pursue a holy and righteous life. And it is by going deeper into the gospel and our humble cooperation and submission. So that's the context, so that we may understand how we should go forth. I have four truths for you and principles that we can see in verses 11 to 15. I am a young pastor. I've been a pastor for 4 years. Okay? I've been in the ministry since 2003, but God has been gracious to lead me where I am right now. And I can relate to Titus hearing or probably reading this letter to understand that you have been entrusted with this beautiful, powerful gospel. Brother pastor, if you're here today and you've been saved by the grace of God, you carry on the power of the gospel in you. And your, not just responsibility, but the joy of you entrusting this to faithful men and women. So tell the person sitting beside you, entrust. Once again, entrust. Because we're not just here to simply equip you, we want you to multiply. Our desire is that the gospel will not simply marinate in your hearts, but it will saturate you. And when it saturates you, it multiplies. It conquers darkness, and it illuminates dark hearts, and from there we see regeneration coming forth. Just like what with the video a while ago. Now, look at verse 11. How are we going to pursue holiness? How does the gospel fuel you to pursue holiness? And later on, we're going to define it. But we need to understand in verse 11 that the fuel and the foundation of pursuing holiness is not what you can do, but it is actually the gospel. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. First truth I'd like you to understand. When the gospel saturates your heart and opens your heart, the gospel creates in you a longing for God. The gospel of Jesus Christ creates in us a longing for God. You see there, God's grace has come to us. Ano ibig sabihin nun? It means that grace is one word, summary of God's saving act in Christ, given freely to sinners who believe. Or Jerry Bridges would call it an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, we see there that the grace of God did not simply remain an abstract, but we see there in John, not in the text, but John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ allows us to see who He is. The gospel of Jesus Christ opens your heart. It's not you who open your heart. It's Jesus. Now, that's crucial because how you pursue holiness, kapag hindi si Jesus yung ultimate foundation na ito, You will experience burnout, you will be frustrated, and it will be about yourself. But if it is Jesus who opened your heart and makes you whole at this time, that's why you are called saint, then you can trust and believe that in Him you have the power to press on and to move on and to become more like Jesus. Look at the person sitting beside you. Sino na ang mas nagiging kamukha niya? Seriously. Sino na ang mas nagiging kamukha ng inyong katabi? Now, look here. The grace of God brings forth light and saves us. God's grace justified us through the work of Christ and made us saints, holy. Before, you are, apart from Christ, you are an enemy of the King. Before you were in darkness, you loved sin. Before Christ, your life, you there's like a bent towards you or in you that you just keep on sinning. And like when people would introduce Christ to you, nonsense. But for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation, bringing rescue, providing the things that we don't have. He opened your heart for a longing for Him. And though you are unrighteous, He made you righteous. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Christ became sin who did not sin, so that we can become the righteousness of God. So you are a saint if you are in Jesus Christ. Sabi mo sa katabi mo, you are a saint. So you, now, in other tradition, in the Catholic tradition, you can only be a saint if you've been venerated and at the same time you're dead. So praise God na yung katabi mo, if he's a saint, he's still alive. So that's good news. Okay? But that is not something so that we can boast and say, I'm a saint. But there's a purpose why you are a saint. It's because Christ wants you to move forward into His likeness. Now, let's try to define what the word saint means biblically. What is a saint? It means a holy people consecrated to the Lord, separated for a purpose. Scripture addresses 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Those sanctified in Christ Jesus called to be saints. And here's the good news. An address, this is an address not limited to certain leaders, but made to all Christians. Praise God. That's why when Paul would address some of his co-believers in Ephesus, in Philippi, in Galatia, in other parts of Asia, they would sometimes he would tell them that you are saints. They were still alive during that time because Christ did a wonderful work in them, and they responded. They responded with humility, even in the joy of affliction. Christ made the work in them. Christ gave the righteousness, His righteousness, so that we can have the righteousness of Christ. You are a saint. You are a saint. Now, a saint, positionally, because you are righteous in Him. What's the purpose? The goal is for greater holiness toward which they strive. So again, this is not something so that you can simply boast. And tell, for example, some other Catholic friends, hey, I'm a saint. I don't need to be dead so that I can be. That's not the purpose. The purpose is for you to become more like Jesus instrumentally. For you to grow in your walk with God and become more like Him. The pastor as a saint for the glory of God and for your joy. So, God's grace has come to us. The grace of God is the foundation of our justification. It means that you've been right, you've been made right before God. Your daily sanctification, your daily walk with Jesus, and at the same time, when Christ will come and rescue you away from the wrath of God, that's glorification. It's the foundation. The grace of God is also the one, the thing that empowers you to pursue holiness. So this is not something like you're wearing white, like what I'm wearing right now. Sabi ni Derek kanina, papakuha kami picture. Okay. Kaya siya naka-white kasi ang pipreach niya ay the pastor as a saint. That's not the case. Even, for example, if you've finished theology, that doesn't make you a saint. The only thing that makes you a saint is because of the grace of God being poured out to you. And now you are new. New. And with that newness that you have, even what Romans 6 would tell us, with the newness of life that you have, now you are now ought to live. Dapat na ikaw ay mamuhay ayon ngayon sa mismong pagkawangis ng ating Panginoong Jesus, ng ating Panginoong Diyos. Na ang desire ng Panginoon is that you've been taken out of darkness and now with new desires and new heart, it's time now for you to be for Christ. It's now time for you to experience the fullness of joy away from your flesh, away from the lies of Satan, away from the world. But how? But how are we going to do that? Verse 12. Look at verse 12. Again, you need to understand that the grace of God is the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here we go. Verse 12, the gospel trains us how to fight. It will not train you how to fight. Wonderful time a while ago when we were delivered with an understanding that we are God's son and daughters and that we are a sinner, justified sinner, and now we are moving towards God's likeness. Okay? But how? Kasi marang madali, di ba? Di ba? Parang alam mo madali. But it's hard, but it's possible. Okay? How does the gospel trains us to fight? Okay, look at verse 12. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Okay, verse 12. So, hello, this mic makes me holy. Okay, I think I'm good. Going back, verse 12. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Now, 2 points I'd like you to understand here. The gospel of Jesus Christ, based on God's grace, teaches you, trains you how to fight. Everybody say, fight. Mahina. Everybody say fight. Now, the mode here is not like you're sitting. Di lang naupo. But you're in fullness alert with sober mind, knowing that you are not anymore slaves to sin. But keep this in mind. Sin has still power. Meron pa rin itong power to captive you. But you are no longer slaves to it. Your master is not sin, but Christ. So Paul is now moving towards the nitty-gritty of pursuing holiness in Christ. You're now holy in Christ, but you need to live in that reality, in that truth. So Paul says first, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. Now, the word train means to work hard. A while ago, Pastor David preached about discipline and being part of a gymnasium. It's also similar into this. Train means to work hard with a gymnastic discipline. It means rigorous, strenuous, self-sacrificing kind of training. Raise your hand if you're in the gym, if you're enrolled in a gym. In your dreams, But like, for example, okay, that's good. So, Kuya Ed, if you enrolled yourself sa isang gym and you're going to apply, for example, in a certain kind of training, then you need to be committed and disciplined to it. But pursuing holiness is more than just signing up. No? Diba? Sabi, uy, may CrossFit. Diba? Sali tayo, okay, sige. So yeah, ando ka na. Ganyan-ganyan ka na. Ready na. Nung mahirap na, ayoko na. If you want to pursue godly life, holiness, rooted in the gospel, you're part of this. The foundation is the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you need to partner with God. And this is now our part. Train. Look here. How are you training your life for God? How do you train yourself to renounce? Actually, the word renounce means to abandon. Everybody say abandon. Sa Tagalog, itakwil. Iwaksi. How are you training yourself to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions? To hate, to disown, or disclaim. I don't have any part in that sin. That's not me anymore. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm a slave now in God's righteousness. Now, looking at this word, it's easy to say, but you need to ask how you train yourself to renounce ungodliness. You need to understand that God's desire for you is not to go back to the same kind of life that you have before in darkness. But He wants you to experience the newness of life. He wants you to experience fullness of joy. Yeah, we talked about our great need for Jesus because of our sin. But the next question is God, definitely He will provide, but are you cooperating with God? Is there a strong desire in your life to say no to sin? And I'm not just talking about sexual sin. I'm talking about anything that is producing life that is apart from God. Pride, lust, envy, gluttony, and many more. Worries. Because the life of holiness is not just for you to remain pure sexually. It's whole life. That's why Paul is saying you train yourself. Why? Because if you're not going to train yourself to say no to this ungodly living and worldly passions, it will kill you. Look at the person sitting beside you. It will kill you. It will kill you. And Paul is serious in this exhortation. He wants us to train ourselves to renounce. Why? Because all the promises, ungodliness, and worldly living would give you are all lies. All lies. Last year, I think early last year, I had a difficulty of overcoming one kind of sin. And it's comparing myself to other brother pastors. Like, try to remember when you look at timelines and you see that some of your friends are doing stuff that you're not doing. And see, wow, shucks. Prosperous na yung ministry niya. Shucks, ganito. Nako, siya nag-speak doon, ako hindi. Siya yung ganito, ganyan. And at first, I was in denial about it. That I tried to compare myself to other brother pastors. And I told it to Pastor David. Pastor David is currently discipling me. We meet Tuesdays, and I told him, Pastor, I have this sin that I need to overcome. The tendency for me, kapag tingin ako ng Facebook, I would just simply compare myself. And Pastor David just pointed me back to Christ, that my acceptance and my identity is in Him alone, in Him. Not on the things that I do, or not on the things of what others are doing. So to also help me to understand and believe in that truth and reality of who I am in Jesus, it took me some time para i-off muna yung Facebook. Just to also prepare and train myself that my identity is not in what I post or what I see in timelines in Facebook. But my identity is only in Jesus Christ. And it was hard to see brother pastors doing things. And I was like telling myself, I think I'm incompetent. Pero all those things are lies from my flesh. All those things are what? Pursuing ungodliness. Because I'm thinking, and I'm trying to see also that I'm trying to be part of a trap. The way for you to be successful is to do a lot of things. Speak anywhere where God will lead you, or kahit hindi nilid ni God, you will speak there. But God was so gracious to capture my heart and say, no, your identity is in me. Your identity is in Christ. Therefore, train yourself to renounce, disown, abandon ungodliness and worldly passions. Not only that, parang negative yung isang renounce, but take a look at in the same verse. Paul is encouraging us and exhorting us to train ourselves to what? Live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Now, self-control means denial of things clearly sinful. Upright means just, right actions toward people. And godliness, it's your regard for God's glory and His will. So Paul is instructing us, dear brother pastors and sisters in the faith, to train yourself to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. Because when you turn away from those things, you need to start believing in a new thing. Believing in that living self-controlled, upright, and godly lives where Christ is provides you life. Because you cannot just simply turn away from something that is not from God, tapos wala kang pupuntahan na mas better. You know what I mean? So you need to understand that when the Bible calls you to repent and stay away from something, it calls you to go to something better. And what Paul is saying is this, training yourself to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives are far more better than ungodliness and worldly passions. Why? Because Christ reigns in this. And this is where holiness, this is where the picture of holiness comes in. That the more every day that you die to yourself, die to your desires, die to your flesh, oh, you see the power of Christ in you. But my dear brother pastors, how are you training yourselves? How's your time in the Word? I was telling kanina yung group namin sa workshop, huwag natin gamitin yung sermon preparation bilang quiet time. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to preach on a Sunday, then starting on Monday, you're going to dissect all those things, and that will be part of your quiet time. Because that's what you prepare for people. But what do you do so that God can speak to you? Train yourself. Train yourself. I know it's hard, but we have the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that. The Holy Spirit is your helper. You don't simply rely on your own strength. We rely on the power that is living in us, which is more powerful than any kind of spirit. Amen? Salamat sa tatlong nag-amen. Amen? So we train ourselves. Tell the person sitting beside you, train yourself. We train ourselves. Whether you are a woman or a man, we need to train ourselves. You know why? Because your personal holiness, your personal walk with God, and how you train yourself to be godly is what you can also give to your people. Your personal holiness, how you walk with God, not perfect, but what I'm talking about here is like perpetually moving towards Christ. There are times that you will fall and stumble and sin, but you don't remain in your sin. You look to Jesus, and from there you train your heart that your heart is not anymore residing in that sin, but your heart is for God. That's what we need. We need men and women who will be serious about their sin. That your sin is not from God. We cannot just simply, ay, kasi maliit lang naman yan. God is forgiving. No! We need to look at sin as how Christ looks at sin. And from there, we need to be in a resolve. And from there, fight. Be in a war mode. And the problem with most Christians and even leaders is that we don't take seriously our sin. But God takes seriously our sin. Because He's holy. Yes, we're not holy, but because of Christ, He has made you holy. So my dear brother, pastors, and sisters, train yourself. Train yourself. Now, pursuing holiness and fighting sin, let me give you three ways on how to do this. First, fight sin by the love of God. Fight sin by the love of God. That when you pursue holiness and fight sin, it's not because at the back of your head, God might punish you, God might, you know, send you back to hell. Hindi ganun. The reason why you're going to pursue holiness and fight sin is because God already loves you. And from there, you say to yourself, I am loved by God through Jesus, therefore I fight the good fight of faith. He loves you. And He's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you. The righteousness that you have today is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So fight sin, pursue holiness by the love of God. Second, fight sin by the power of the Spirit. You need to have the power of the Spirit. You need to believe in the presence and in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is also God in us. We need to be Spirit-dependent in our fight against sin and in our transformation to Christ's likeness. Lastly, fight sin together with your community. I know you are here with some of your churchmates. That's great. But the goal of this is for you to take home what God will bring truth in your hearts, and from there work it out in a sense where, okay, you're going to meet as brother pastors in the church and say, okay, how can we hold accountable sa bawat isa? So it's not just you outside posting hashtag GSPCon2018 and say, wow, what a great conference. Wow, what a powerful one. Next year ulit. Not like that. But you come together as brothers and sisters and say, hey, I'm serious with this walk. I'm serious with this. And I'd like to fight the good fight of faith with you, brother, with you, sister. Would you join me? So kung katabi niyo yung ka-churchmate ninyo, tingnan niyo mabuti sa mga mata. Sabi mo. Kung katabi niyo yung ka-churchmate ninyo, tingnan niyo yung mga mata, sabi mo sa kanya, willing ka ba? Sabi mo sa kanya, ready ka ba? Isa pang question, sabi mo sa kanya, handa ka na ba? So we need to fight together for the love of God, by the love of God, at the same time, the power of the Holy Spirit, and through community, to train ourselves. Now, third, look at verse 13. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean? The gospel directs the affection of our hearts. It now provides a path where you should look. It sets your heart not in you, but in Christ. And the more that you see who Christ is, you cooperate with Him, you partner with Him, and you join Him. So we know where to look, and we know where our hearts will be, because it says there, waiting for our blessed hope. Who's that? It's Christ, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we fix our eyes, our hearts, our affections to Jesus. As you train your hearts to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to train yourself to self-controlled, upright, and godly living, it's not just you doing it on yourself, but you look to Jesus. You look and set your heart on Him. And Jesus starts to become your ultimate defense, your righteousness, and your advocate, the one who's interceding, praying for you. The more aware you are of God's grace and acceptance in Christ, the more able you are to drop your denials and self-defenses and admit the true dimensions of sin. Yes, you are a sinner, justified one. But please keep in mind, you are also a saint. That God's desire is for you to become more like Him. More than with the things that you do. Hear me on this. But how God is shaping and at the same time molding your being. And I think for pastors and leaders in the church, when you're driven to do things, it's easy for us to neglect the need for God. But for brother pastors and all leaders here, our desire and my desire is that we'll be more focused in our being. Because in that, you can see greater impact in what you will do. Focus on your being so that you'll see your great need for God. That your need for God is not just one time, but it's an everyday need for Him. That you desire, that like me personally, I pray that God will continue to change my heart. That there will not be outbursts of anger. I will not be impatient when my son would love and would ask me to play with him. I need God. We need Him. Fourth, the gospel teaches us to maximize our joy in Jesus. Look at verse 14. The gospel teaches us to maximize our joy in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. Who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. Now, let me lay down these things to you. When I say the gospel teaches us to maximize our joy in Jesus, how you pursue holiness is rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is pointed to Jesus. Okay, and what do we need to do? As you continue to pursue holiness, you need to look to Jesus. Because He's our perfect example. So, for your joy and His glory, gaze upon the truth that Jesus gave Himself for you. Jesus paid it. There's nothing that you can do so that you will be accepted and be loved by God. It is already done. Tetelestai, it is finished. So gaze on that. Why? Because so that obeying the commands of God will not be burdensome. It will be a delight. Gaze in the truth that Christ purified you, and He is continually purifying you. And that Jesus possesses you. He owns you. Wow. Think about that. The reality that we are not only reconciled to Christ, we're not just redeemed, but Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 says that we are also adopted as sons and daughters. We are His own. And for your joy and His glory, Jesus prepares us to be zealous to do good works. Maximize your joy in Jesus. As you deny yourself, you place your faith and your trust in Jesus. And from there, you enjoy the realities of what Psalm 16:11 says. You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Take note. Who is seated right now at the right hand of God? There's joy when you pursue holiness. It's not something like you are boring, but there's true joy. Why? Because you now get to see the reality that Jesus is more satisfying, He's exciting and thrilling than anything else this world has to offer. The promise of a naked woman in the internet is not enough to compare, for example, to the incomparable greatness of who Christ is. You comparing yourself to others is not enough to bring forth the reality that you've been accepted, that God delights in you. Hindi yung blasphemy, eh? God delights in us. You know why? Because Jesus is in you. And therefore, when God even commissioned Jesus Christ, that He was pleased to His Son, the love of God is even poured out to us today. And with that kind of joy, with that kind of reality, men and women pursue Christ, pursue holiness. Pursue Him with all of your life. Lastly, the gospel gives us confidence to proclaim and entrust these truths. As you pursue holiness, you impact others. It's not just going to stay with you. Look at verse 15. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. It provides you confidence that your assurance and security does not lie in you, but in Christ. Therefore, you proclaim it. But take a look at the word entrust, because that demands you being an example for other believers. When you entrust, you're not simply entrusting, for example, a thing, but you entrust even your life. So be thinking. If you're here today and if you're going to commit yourself to live a holy life, and you need to, because that's how the gospel actually operates and produces in us. Be thinking of men and women who sino yung i-entrust mo na mismong reality of who Christ is. That our desire is that you will have confidence, but at the same time, the eagerness to entrust the good deposits of the gospel. So, knowing that God has called us to be saints, and He is calling us to be holy, calling us to remain in Him, how are we going to apply these things? Let me give you some suggestions, and this is also my prayer, my application from my own self. First, never outgrow your daily need for God's grace. Never outgrow your daily need for God's grace. You need Christ. Not just during this conference. Every day. You need Him. If there will come a time that you think that you can do things on your own, you need to start repenting and you need to start believing in Jesus Christ again. Because you cannot do all the things, okay? All the things in church, you need Christ. You need His empowerment. You need the Holy Spirit. You need His guidance. Second, train and fight hard to say yes to Jesus and no to sin, the world, and the enemy. So you need to scan and filter the things that you watch, the things that you listen to. Not because it's a popular thing, you will subscribe to it, easily subscribe. But you need to have a discerning heart and spirit and say, is this going to train my heart for you, God? If not, give me the courage and boldness to renounce this. Train yourself. Third, strive to walk together with gospel-centered disciples or in your local church. I was telling a while ago in our group, in a workshop, that kung wala pa nagdi-disciple sa inyo, I pray that you will eagerly and earnestly pray that someone will walk with you. Yeah, we know that you can say, well, I am being discipled by the triune God. There are three actually. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. But you need men and women where you can confess your sins and be open to your struggles and where they can point you to Christ. Don't just hang out with people that will just simply entertain the things that you do that are not actually providing you more affections to Christ. Choose your friends. Walk with them. Walk with them. Because you're not better than them. We're all sinners, justified by Christ. But in Christ, He has provided everything that we need so that we can move forward towards holiness. Amen? So walk with them. So look at the person. Kung churchmate mo yan, sabihin mo sa kanya, walk with me. Walk with me. And please take this seriously. You need to walk with men and women. Okay? If you're a man, therefore walk with a man. If you're a woman, then walk with a woman. And ask tough questions. I remember in our first few meetings, si Pastor David, ang tanong niya sa akin, what is the most embarrassing sin that you have done in the local church and for Christ? And I was like, my goodness, first day pa lang, ito pa lang tanong namin. Unbelievable. But you know, I prayed for him that he could disciple me. He was my professor before sa SBST, and I was just praying, Lord, would you draw my heart to him? Because I need someone, not just a seasoned pastor, but I need a godly man who can teach me the ways of God. So brother pastor, if you're here today and you think you don't need a discipler, shame on you. Because you need one. You need one. You cannot say, well, I've been in the ministry for many years and I don't think I need one. Then be careful, because you might fall. But God uses the means of grace to lead you to other godly men and women. Therefore, cherish it. Live in it. Walk in it. Strive together for Christ. Lastly, maximize your joy and satisfaction in Jesus. Believe in the promises of who God is in the Scripture. Oh, those are powerful things. And as you marinate yourself to Jesus, sin tastes bitter. Jesus tastes now sweeter. Sweet as time goes by. Maximize your joy and satisfaction in Jesus. And as we pursue, as God is calling us to pursue holiness, one picture comes into my mind. Next slide, bro. We need to always come to God as weak and needy. Last 2 weeks ago, my family and I, together with Kuya John, went to Real Quezon. So we spoke there in a youth camp, and we had also the privilege to spend time with, to spend time with my family. And one of the things that I enjoyed during that time is that CJ, my son, who's 6 years old, said, "Daddy, when are we going to swim? When are we going to hit the waves?" Sabi ko sa kanya, "Okay, son, after I preach in the afternoon, we're going to hit the beach." Sabi niya, "Okay." Then he waited patiently. And from there, sabi niya sa akin, "Dad, I'm ready." Okay, sabi, "Okay, let's go, anak." Okay? So nandun na kami sa shore, and we started to go deep. Okay? I think it was second day, time wala na sino Kuya John. But sabi ko kay CJ, "CJ, I know you can do this. Let's go deeper." And he said, "Dad, I'm afraid. I'm afraid, Dad." So I go, "No, don't worry. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to hold your hand. And from there, you need to believe and understand that I am with you. No matter how big the waves are, I am with you." And he looked at me and said, "Dad, I'm staying in water." And I understand, hindi mo sinabi, I understand, pero sabi niya, I'm more confident to swim because you're with me. Now, in the same way, the pursuit of holiness is abiding in Christ because you are weak and needy. Not of anything that you can do, but what Christ can do still in you. You hold the hand of Jesus. John chapter 15, remain in Him. And from there, allow His heart, His whole truth to saturate in you. And from there, you can be assured that this is possible. But don't come to God that you're strong and not need of anything. But like a child who understands his limitations would hold fast to the hand of his father and will say, "Dad, I can do this with you. I can hit the waves. I can go deeper because I know I am with you." My dear brother, pastors and sisters, you need Christ. And I hope this will not be a cliche for all of us, but let this be a marinating truth in all of us so that we will continue to experience the glories and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the more every day as we submit ourselves to Him, we'll become more like Him so that others will know how powerful and awesome God is, to what He can do. Someone who's been in the darkness, now into light. Someone who's been captive to sin, now is set free in experiencing freedom in Christ. This is for us. And by the grace of God, He calls you to abide in Him. Father, we thank you for this afternoon. We thank you for your call for us, Lord, to train ourselves to pursue a holy life that is rooted in your grace. But God, also we see our limited capacity, Lord, to do this on our own. God, would you provide new desires in us that we may truly come to you and say, "Lord, I am needy. I don't have anything." But you said in Isaiah 55, "Calm those who are thirsty." Even if you don't have money, it's okay. I'm going to provide everything that you need. I'm going to give myself to you. Lord, give us that kind of desire. Away from our pride, away from our ego, away from our self-dependency. But in you. In you alone. Father, thank you for how you've nourished our hearts and how you encourage us, Lord, to move together as your people, as your treasured possessions. Thank you, God. Thank you. We love you. In Christ, I pray.